Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Lincoln Live today, thanks to DuctMedic. Improve your air, improve your life, DuctMedic. Superintendent of Lincoln's Public Schools is in for a conversation, Dr. Steve Joel. Steve, good to have you in. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Dale.
I thought about you the other day when I heard that California is looking at starting school no sooner than 8 in the morning. They're giving schools across the state 3 years to kick this in. What do you think about an 8 a.m. start blanket across the board? Can't do it any earlier than that.
Well, I think there's some sound research behind it. There's been a number of studies conducted across the country, you know, about the need for young people, high school students particularly, to sleep later. I mean, their biological clocks and, you know, their metabolism and, you know, there's just, it's different when you're 16 than it is when you're 26 or 36. And, you know, they stay up late and they come to school early and sometimes they're late, you know. So, I mean, I think there's probably sound reason behind that. We haven't had that conversation in Lincoln, but, you know, it doesn't mean that we won't at some point. Now, I will say that our high schools don't start until 8 o'clock, but they've got that 0 hour, that early bird for the highly motivated students that are trying to get enough credits to graduate maybe in 3.5 years, or, you know, they want to free up their schedule to be able to take a class that they're interested in. But I think there's going to be more and more conversation about that as we go forward.
Shifting gears quickly to the bond issues, LPS discussing bond options, 5 options, and among those options, increasing the levy to the point where it would raise property taxes in order to raise enough money to handle all the needs or a greater amount of needs that the district has. If the levy rate stays the same, which you and I have talked about seems to be the most common direction to go, taxes wouldn't go up. How much pushback, how much reaction have you had as the superintendent of LPS to these options that now become more public that would raise taxes?
Well, the tax issue is a very, very sensitive issue. And you know, the Board of Education was presented with $440 million worth of needs. And, you know, because interest rates have helped us so much and the refunding and refinancing that the business department has been doing with primarily Scott Keene, who is, you know, he's our representative from Piper Jaffray, has put us in a position where we could get about net proceeds of about $280 million, keeping it within the existing tax levy. And I think that that's probably very, very prudent. And I think that there's a lot of board support to do that. And it means that we're going to have to cut that list, right? So tough decisions have to be made. Now, I think the other side of the conversation, we have some board members that are looking at the cost of money today and saying, okay, when will you ever see interest rates this low again? And, you know, why not take care of all of our needs, all $440 million worth of our needs, while, you know, it's as cheap as it is. You know, having said that, I don't see the appetite for any kind of a tax increase. And, you know, I personally would not be in favor of that, but I don't get a vote. So I think the board's going to continue to do their due diligence and work through this so that they can create some consensus around those projects. You know, I think there's clear consensus for 2 high schools, one north, one south. I think there's clear consensus to take care of Everett and Park with those comprehensive indoor air quality projects. It's, you know, probably $25 or $30 million. You know, I think after that it gets a little hazy in terms of, you know, what are the priorities. One of the things that makes bond issues successful in Lincoln is, you know, we try to touch all parts of the city. So, you know, we have needs in Northeast Lincoln and the core of Lincoln, and as well as on the perimeter. One interesting field trip that all of our board members took, and I took it as well, is we just, Scott Wieskamp drove us around the perimeter of the city. So basically, where the border of Lincoln ends and you head into, you know, other jurisdictions and communities, we drove around, and Dale, I'll tell you what, the what's happening out there is just nothing short of phenomenal. Northwest, Northeast, Southeast, Southwest, there's housing coming, there's holes being dug, there's apartments going up. And so, you know, we're really thinking that the future is extremely bright for Lincoln. And if we're overcrowded today, which we are and we will be for the next few years, you know, what's it going to be like when this growth kicks in? And, you know, we've got this data center that we're hearing a lot about going in on North 56th Street. And we hear that that's going to bring some really good jobs and many of them. So, you know, we're going to see while live births may have peaked and immigration has slowed down a little bit on the enrollment front, the reality of it is, I think growth is going to kick in a very big way in Lincoln soon.
Well, fifth grade is the pig and the python right now. It's right. The biggest chunk, and that's still elementary school.
It's still elementary. And so if we're 115% of capacity today in our high schools, and we'll be 120 next year, and it'll continue to go up as that bubble comes through, you know, the reality of it is whatever decisions we make regarding high school, we're doing it for today, for the needs that we have today and into the future, which is why, though, 2 1,000 student high schools make a lot of sense.
What's your best guess about the appetite of the voting public? Because two of the options yield zero tax increases. One is $286 million, one is $317 million.
Right. And really what that has to do with the extent of the, you know, extending out the
time frame.
The amortization time frame. You know, what's my best guess? I you know, that one's a hard one, right? Because I'm personally somebody that likes to pay off debt as quickly as possible. So, you know, for me, the shorter time span, even if you don't get quite as many dollars, makes a lot of sense. But we'll see. I mean, the board's had 3 work sessions so far. I think they've got 3 more scheduled. And they're just now getting into the nuts and bolts of, you know, here's their personal opinion in terms of, you know, what needs to be a priority item for the bond issue. And then, you know, we don't have a long time frame. You know, the board will go to resolution in December, and I'm thinking right now the best window to call a vote is going to be sometime in February. I think it's February 10th, according to an election commissioner. And, you know, that gives us very little time to put our facts together and make sure that, you know, people have ample time to ask questions.
Another subject I wanted to bring up. I had Laura Salem sitting here, involved in the English language learning program, was shocked to learn there are 3,000 immigrant and refugee students in the ELL program. That's a few numbers off from the entire population of Waverly.
That's right.
Going through Lincoln's public schools to teach language, and the baggage these young people bring with them.
Right.
But I was fascinated by the culture. We talked a little bit about that, Steve, the fact that how do you treat and handle and the important level that you apply to getting these kids started in a new environment, in a new country, in a new school. And everything's new. Everything is brand new to these kids, and they bring trauma with them, too.
Oh, they do. You know, Dale, I wish that more people could observe the process from arrival to enrollment to the end of a year and the progression that takes place with regard to a student's growth and a family's growth. For example, you know, we have a welcome center at Park Middle School, right? That's not big enough to, hasn't been big enough to accommodate, although immigration has slowed down a little bit because of what's happening with regard to the government. And when you see these families coming in from 90 different countries and walking in, they don't know the language, they don't know the laws, they've been relocated here, they have sponsors, and every single one of the families that I've ever observed, education is so important to them, and their children don't speak any English. And then by the end of that first year, they're speaking English, they're writing English. And then if they stay in our system, which many of them do for quite a period of time, those 3,000 students will become proficient. A lot of them are going to college. They're becoming productive. I just applaud Dr. Salem and all of our folks that work in ELL, English Language Learners. I think we're seeing amazing results. We have family literacy in a handful of schools, you know, where immigrant parents now are learning about language and culture so they can help their own children with homework. it's a process that works. And I know sometimes people politically want to say, well, you know, they shouldn't be here. But I've never met a family that didn't come here for the right reasons. And being a productive worker and citizen is, you know, at the top of their thinking. But education is key.
You're still doing messages on LPS.org? Occasionally,
yeah, blogs. I try to do a blog a month. Yeah. Depends on what hits me.
Yeah. Well, I advise people to go to LPS.org. I go there before our conversations. Not only do you tap into what's on your mind, but you see success stories from schools. You see calendars. You see individual achievements. You get a well-rounded view of a very busy district with over 40,000 students running around our city. So. LPS.org is a place to go.
Thanks for that plug. And I'll tell you, I think we are a really good investment as a school system in terms of what we contribute to the community. And I think it's not just because we have really great people in our employment and we have a board that cares deeply. It's because this community has high expectations for excellence. And so the recent report card release, you know, we do well academically, but we have a lot of room to go. You know, our kids in poverty aren't scoring as well as we need them to score, which is why the board's taken on this whole equity accessibility discussion to try to determine, you know, if we're going to get to 90% graduation, what needs to be different. And that's going to be a struggle for us. But, you know, I can tell you, we live in a community that can get that done.
All right. That's why we have this conversation every month with the superintendent of Lincoln's Public Schools, Dr. Steve Joel. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Dale.
Go to our podcast link, KFORnow.com. Hear this conversation again and other interesting guests on Lincoln Live. I'm Dale Johnson.